She was running, she was dealing with one of the grandkids and was running a little bit late. We'll call the meeting to order. We're going to go out a little out of order on the agenda because Comptroller Gallagher has to leave to go to something this afternoon.
NYGFOA, Government Finance Officers Association.
Thank you. I knew it was a lot of letters. So we're going to start with the discussion on the contract with her so she can then leave. And I'll turn it over to her, and she's kindly prepared handouts for us, and we'll go from there.
Thank you so much. First of all, let me just say, this is not, not every version of this is double-sided. Not every version of this is on recycled paper. We go through so little paper, we have not purchased paper since the green procurement rules went into effect. But I also want to note that there's no pride of authorship here. Like, if you guys look at the contract and you feel like there are other sections of the contract that really merit discussion, I'm totally open to it. This was just a set of ideas, and the reason I volunteered to do this was I had done it a similar exercise when we were auditing UCRA and prepared sort of an analysis for the Environmental Legislative Committee, which Manna Joe Green was chairing at the time, about areas of the contract that maybe could have used a second look or hadn't been were not being implemented in the way maybe that was originally intended. So I had already spent a lot of time on the contract, which is why I volunteered to talk about this. And what I did here is I pulled out sections. I think you guys all need the underlying contract, which is here. What is not included are all the amendments. And there have been 5 amendments. The contract is extended through 25. And last meeting, or the meeting before, I can't remember which one, UCRA Executive Director Mark Ryder talked about there's an amendment that spoke to the bonding issue. I didn't include the bonding issue in here, but I do think that merits discussion. And from what we've heard around the table, there might be a consensus around not including a bonding cap in this document. So that's my intro.
Can I just ask, when you say last meeting, do you mean last of our meeting or last of the...
This meeting, this committee, it was either the last meeting or the meeting before.
I just wanted to make sure that if there was something you heard that he said that
elsewhere. It was here. He talked about it, and Amanda and I both looked at each other like, do we have that?
And the full contract, along with all the amendments, is in the
drive.
The drive.
Yeah. So I do think that bonding issue is definitely warrants extensive discussion, and as I've said before, I do think it also, there needs to be a legal look at it. It needs to happen while this committee is still in place, because I understand that I was there when it happened. I understand that it was voted on by the legislature and it was signed by the other than executive, but that doesn't, to me, take away whether or not there is a legal question as to a public authority's independence. So I guess feel like it's something.
Well, I mean, so that's something that I think we should push out to Ledge Council, through the chair, a question about the authority. But I, from what I've heard from almost everybody at this table, I believe people are here sitting at this table in consensus that we don't necessarily want to see a bonding cap in this document.
Yeah, I don't know because Laura's not here, I should.
So we'll put that in the parking lot for now, so to speak, and then maybe ask for legal opinion on that.
You said through 2025?
No,
it's not. I just want to make sure we're aware of that. It's like the first March, I believe it's March 1st, 2025, so it's less than a year.
The beginning.
Correct.
2025. So I'm just going to lead you through the sections that I pulled out here. And again, if there are other sections as we go through the document that you feel like need to be discussed, open to that. We're just making recommendations. We're not actually editing the contract right now, but it's a beginning point, and maybe we want to include this in our report. I think the first thing that struck me was really the definition section, and that regulated recyclables is not really as expansive as maybe we want to make it. That there are materials that have been regulated since this contract was drafted, and perhaps we want to recommend enumerating those by the local law that regulates them, and to add maybe a section that says, and any other material so enacted, you know, by the legislature later. So, you know, that just gives the agency and the legislature the ability to grow and change with time as materials are added.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm not looking at the language, but the regulated recyclables, the purpose of forming the Recycling Oversight Committee was to determine whether there are regulated recyclables for which there are no markets and should not be regulated, or not economic markets. And then the other half of that is looking at materials for which there are now. And I just want to put in a side note that I believe that if we do site a landfill with waste diversion, that it, for plastics in particular, it would make sense to consider a monofill, because I expect that rather than burning them, which I think there would be a lot of objection to, but there may be technology in the future, and for other materials as well, but just to think about possibly a monofill.
I don't know about that exact technology, but I totally hear the gist of what you're saying, and I do think that this section, this definition section on regulated recyclables, needs to take into account future possibilities. I also noted that I didn't feel like organics were really addressed here in any way.
Yeah, I was just going to, because I don't have the full text of the contract.
You do. It's attached.
Oh, it is.
To
okay.
What I gave you. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So what I was going to say is I hear your point on recyclables, although I can't quite. Can you give me an example of recyclables that are regulated that aren't contained in local law number 8?
What about plastic bags? Well, it's not recyclable. It's being treated a different way. So I just
wonder. I would
say
it's not recyclable.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's regulated. It's a material regulated.
So, you know.
Otherwise.
So
and it's actually not regulated how you get rid of it. It's only regulated how you use it.
Right.
That it can be dispensed at point of sale.
You know, maybe there isn't one at this time.
So I think we just need I'm just challenging you on the flag to say that I think we
there
need
isn't
to
one that's
it.
Not.
I'm not saying there isn't. I'm
right.
just saying I don't know if there's.
You know, waste oil, Freon, or those.
There's one. You have to go into the code. But that's
right.
I would crosswalk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything with the code.
Where is the list? Is there a list in here?
No.
Okay.
In local law 8 of 1991, but I believe, as Mana said, that local law gives flexibility to the Recycling Oversight Committee
to add or remove.
So, to your point, I mean, I do think that there is that mechanism. It's just outside of this contract.
Right.
But it's referenced in the contract.
I mean, it's meant to be living so that the contract doesn't have to be amended every time that's regulated recyclable. But I think that I was just raising that I think some of the materials that have regulation, they're not actually regulated as recyclables. They're regulated as materials. Their use may be prohibited, similar to the polystyrene ban. It's not regulated as recyclables. Its use is restricted in certain. So
regulated as waste.
There may be. Yeah, and polystyrene is and similar to plastic bags. Those are two that. You know, we led with the laws on those, but they were like their use was regulated, not even as waste. Like
so, it may be that the solid waste management section needs to be better defined to include those things that are.
But again, they're not. We don't say you can't throw them away. So you can't provide them when you're serving drinks, or you can't
right.
provide them as for food. So again, I think it's good that you flagged it because I think it has
yeah.
to be thought of. But I'm just not sure.
I didn't write definitions here.
Right.
I'm not writing code.
Yeah.
I'm not making edits to this document.
Yeah.
I'm sort of because I think this is really going to come down to a negotiation between the county and UCRA on what the language in the contract is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can make suggestions, I think we should, if we feel strongly about certain things, and we have identified items that should be included. You know, there are things here that, you know, scrap material is noted as a solid waste, and I don't, it's not clear to me if that's metals, you know what I mean? I just think it needs more definition here. Yeah. Okay.
I just want to say the two things that I can think of over the years that have been added, originally it was just office paper, and then it included waste mail and magazines, so. And originally cardboard was, but the other is compost, food waste specifically.
Yeah.
So, Marge, I just pulled up the Recycling Oversight Committee at the 30431. It says, advising the agency on the addition of materials to the definition of regulated recyclable materials, and then approving the removal of materials from the definition of regulated recycling materials. So those are two of the tasks that they're assigned by the law. Yeah, Tracy.
And it was specifically designated there because the Recycling Oversight Committee, when it's fully staffed or whatever the word is very multi-sectoral.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the haulers, you get the multifamily dwellings, the businesses.
Yeah.
Can I just ask, in the solid waste section that you highlighted,
mm-hmm.
and I'm asking this as a question to those at the table because I don't have the answer, this list of solid waste, including but not limited to, goes on.
I mean, I think, you know, every single one of the items in here is going to have to be reviewed, particularly by the agency,
mm-hmm.
because they're going to have expertise on what
yeah.
has come through, what they see, what they don't see.
It's not defined in the solid waste law. I'm looking to see if there's a definition of it there.
Yeah, I mean, I see where it's separated. It talks about substances in gaseous form as not being not included, but then it says contained gaseous material is included. So it's like that's where I'm flagging that as a question of maybe something that shouldn't be considered solid waste and like the simple solid waste.
Yeah, Mark?
I think it's important when we're looking at this that this was
92.
Or 91. So 304, which is the source separation law, should be referenced in the contract. And so 30430 is actually talking about that's the section right before the Recycling Oversight Committee that designates the agency as being able to add or remove any recyclable materials. And then 31 talks about the Recycling Oversight Committee being the committee that recommends.
But we amended the Recycling Oversight Committee legislation to require approval of removal. That wasn't originally in. It originally was just the agency, but that language requires approval of removal.
And is it the whole legislature or the committee?
No, it's the committee.
But the committee isn't operating right now.
Correct.
Yeah. Well,
they meet quarterly.
But there's a mechanism in there, if I recall, where if the agency recommends something for removal and they don't respond, then remove. I mean, I'm pretty sure we contemplated what would happen.
Coming together.
Not if they didn't meet, but if they didn't respond. So, yeah. But I think it's important also to note that even though there has to be a consistency between the contract and the code, but you also have the overarching kind of rules, like Part 360,
mm-hmm. right?
So that we right. can't get that far.
Can't violate yeah. state law. No.
And I don't know where the state is, like, and this is where there's even a nuance on top of it, which has to do with source separated, right? You know, it's one thing if it's commingled and it becomes MSW, and that you're teasing it out, you know, on the tipping floor. It's another thing when it's source separated.
Hey, Mark. Do you want to come, since it's a small group, do you want to come sit here and then we're not having to all turn around and talk to you, just make it easier? Laura's going to be along. But yeah, yeah. Just makes it easier.
Okay. Are people ready for me to turn the page? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. The second major issue that I see in the contract is the maximization of revenue requirements. Don't get me wrong, I'm the comptroller, I want to maximize revenue, but I recognize that, and I think we all do, that, you know, there are going to need to be investments that may be expensive and may not be break-even or profitable operations that the county still wants to pursue. And right now, this contract requirement really, I think, operates as a barrier to the agency taking on some responsibilities that the county wants the agency to take on, because they can't maximize revenue if they're doing certain functions. I do not have an answer for you or even a suggestion on how we modify this language to do two things. We still do want to maximize revenue where possible, and we also want to make investments in things that may not be revenue positive. So we're going to have to figure out a way to maybe even request that when the legislature adopts a law, for example, like the food waste law, that there is a recognition that this goes outside of the maximization of revenue requirement in the contract. That's one thought I have in looking towards it.
Yeah, Anna.
You too.
Just curious, I mean, why do we need to say maximize revenues? Like, what is the point behind that? It seems self-evident that we would be trying to run in a business-like manner. So does it even need to be in there? Because it seems to me if it's not, it gives us the flexibility. I mean, I can't imagine any board would bankrupt itself. So, I mean, I may be missing something, you know, in accounting and stuff, because I'm not trained in all that, but it just seems to me that it's almost unnecessary.
So I will say that when we did the audit of compost, we relied on this as a criteria for some of the findings, you know, that the agency was not maximizing revenues in certain ways when they had potential to do so. So, you know, and I agree with you, Jim. I think it's probably inherent in the creation of the of public authority and the requirements therefore, but I don't know. I think there has to be a lot of conversation about removing it, but it definitely is a barrier right now.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
Well, Tracy,
you're giving them.
Okay. In terms of maximizing revenue, I think what has evolved is that the agency has put a lot of emphasis on balancing its budget, which is different than maximizing revenue, and trying not to have a net service agreement. And I brought this up a couple times, and I just want us to think about it in terms of the contract. I think it's important, is the idea that if the agency is balancing its budget, and there is a project like the Reuse Innovation Center, for example, that the legislature or that the executive branch, but that the county wants the agency to do, that they, I believe, should be able to come back to, in this case, the legislature for a budget amendment to, or a project-specific net service fee. You know, wanted to bring that up. I do think I think that they should maximize revenue, but I think we also need to have language about the role of any government agency, but in this case, the agency. First of all, to, as Jim points out often, take all expenses into consideration, including avoided costs, and also that the function of government in general and each of its agencies, etc., is to ensure the public good. And that may mean not maximizing revenue. And I'll just give an example would be if the agency is accepting refrigerators and evacuating the refrigerant, and it's going to cost more, it's going to cost what people feel like is too much, then they might cut the line or push it over a cliff or whatever. That's an extreme example, but just the idea of including public good and finding language that'll balance that.
Mm-hmm. May I make a direct response to that?
Yeah, I just want to let Tracy. Yeah.
Okay. That's a good example, but another example is when a couple of years ago the board wanted to set aside maybe $500,000 for projects that we could work on, and the towns all came to us and just said, "No, you can't do it. You know, your tipping fee is too high; it's killing us." And so we backed down. So there is, you know, there is that balancing act that the towns are constantly pushing back against high tipping fees, and there's also the concern that if we raise our tipping fee too high, you know, then the waste haulers will find a way around it and take their waste other places. It's not an either or situation. It's not something you can just say, well, you know, we're not trying to maximize revenues. We're trying, but on the other hand, we're trying to balance the needs and the concerns of the towns and the city as well.
So I'm glad I let you go first, because I'd actually like to respond to both. I think that Nana's example of cutting the line is actually not an extreme example at all. It's like a very real example.
Yeah.
And a good one. And I think, Jim, your example sort of highlights the bigger problem of the mentality of having no net service fee. Because you could take on those projects and give a net service fee to the county and not raise tipping fees.
Right.
But the culture at the agency for so long has been to not have a net service fee. And my concern about doing project-specific net service fees is then it really gets into a kind of micromanaging. I think we have to have a conversation about what we're recommending, as whether or not we're recommending a contract with a public authority that's empowered to make good and smart decisions for the public good, taking into account legislative directives and public concern and the larger local solid waste management plan. Much of which this section, which you highlighted, condenses in like two sentences. It's like, ultimately, we are not talking about maximizing profit and breaking even. That's like the single biggest problem that we've been dealing with, in my opinion, in the last number of years. The single biggest. It's been the hindrance to necessary upgrades to the MRF, the hindrance to, like, to discussions about landfill. It's what we're talking about. So how do we get to that place where this language reflects the nuance that says, yes, maximizing profit is the wrong word. It's like,
I agree.
Full stop. Like, yes, I think it's the wrong words. I think this is not, it's not a business. It's not a business for profit. This is for public good, and we're just simply getting to a place in time where these things aren't going to break even. Where I think there's nuance is what we've discussed at this table as wish cycling. Like the idea that I want this plastic to be recyclable. I want it to go somewhere that's going to have a better end than just in my garbage in a landfill. But if at the end of the day that doesn't exist, there has to be some recognition,
right.
Some recognition of that. And that's, I think, needs to be handled honestly, not just, oh, it's going to cost too much to recycle. But I mean, I recently read an article, that place that we went to see the thin film recycling with the little tiny pellets, that basically said, like, it's happening, but it's because the laws, like the ones related to post-consumer recycled content in garbage bags, like, we haven't followed suit. There's these things aren't really going anywhere. So everything has to fit together, but I think we have to remove that. To me, that's the most important thing in this contract, is removing that and having the discussion about whether we want a truly autonomous agency, that is an agency. It's a public authority.
Could I go now? So you've just nailed a lot of what I wanted to say. And the key to me is here, it says maximize revenue. Too often revenue translated to what you said, profit. And that they had to be in the black. Maximizing revenue as a concept is not a bad concept, because you want to go out and get the revenues you can. But like Mana said, not at the sacrifice of not doing something or doing something a different way. So I don't know that you want to just remove this section. I think you want to instill the agency should always be looking for ways to generate revenue, but within the framework. And kind of what Jim was saying, too, is the revenue can't just then be pushed down to the municipalities or to the haulers, you know, to make that revenue. There's got to be that balance that's got to continue to exist. And I think, you know, I agree with everything everybody said here, but I'm not really thinking that we should just remove the sentence. I think we need to rework it. Let me let March go.
So the other part of this is it talks about minimizing costs, and that's the other side of this equation, and it also presents a challenge when we're saying, no, we want you to go above and beyond. You know, we want you to do something additional. It's not going to minimize costs. I think what we should do, you know, get our words out here, hear each other, but I think we should put this aside and do a little bit more research to see if there is a really great way that somebody else has talked about this obligation in solid waste management, because this is a problem other people have thought about. And I didn't do research on what language might be appropriate to address the kind of concerns that we're talking about.
So just on, I know we're really focused on, so March brought up the minimizing of costs, but the maximizing of revenue, we're not saying maximizing profits, right? So I don't think it's harmful to look at things and say we need to maximize revenue. One way to maximize revenue would be upgrading our MRF and being able to accept other recyclables. So maximizing revenue in and of itself, I don't think is the problem. I think when you take these sentences together, then you are basically saying
right. Maximizing
profits, which is the problem.
Exactly.
I will just say, to kind of defend the past people involved in the agency, there was promises made, maybe there shouldn't have been, but around getting political support for flow control, because at the time, and you were probably here, but I mean, there was prior directors that basically promised the executive that if they support flow control, that they will never come back for a net service fee. So it's not like just board members and executives in the agency were focused on this because they didn't want to come back to the county. There was an understanding there for a long time that they would not come back to the county,
yeah. Whether
that's right or not. I mean, I think that's what kind of instilled and hardened that thought process.
And if I just add one more thing, then before we move on, changing the whole bonding thing is key to this, because if they can go out and bond, then they can generate the funds they need to do some of these things through their own system without going this way. So
But that is going to put up the net, I mean, the tipping fee, as opposed to a net service fee for a specific project. But that system will create more interdependence between the less independence of the agency. But I think we're overall here to get the job done.
Right.
And anyway, I just, you know, in a sense, you're representing the towns, and if something does put the cost up, that's going to end up in the tipping fee.
Agreed.
But I actually don't agree, because that goes back to Mark's comment about the understanding in relation to the flow control, which was sold to the legislature as a part of a whole system that then never eventually happened. And the reason I don't agree is that right now, this board could approve, for example, a major bonding initiative to upgrade a MRF. The legislature could then approve that bonding issue, and this board, in its proposed budget, could hold the tipping fee and issue a net service fee if that's the way that the board chose to balance their budget. There's nothing that says a tipping fee has to raise, whether for a single project or every project. It's just that the culture has been such that there will be no raise in tipping fee. And the problem is that one thing that I would like to include in this report is the importance of this legislature, who we're issuing this report to, recognizing that is a damaging culture that was created. It's a very damaging culture because it has impeded any progress. It has caused everything to stall in this false equivalent. And Mark, actually, your comment, when I said we should just get rid of those words, actually, if we got rid of the second section, I'm just throwing, like, I'm not saying we're going to do this, but if we got rid of the object of maximizing the revenue generated by, and we got rid of the minimizing the cost. Like, it's the two of them together that create the problem. And so I think we need to be really, I don't have the words right now, and I want to do what you suggested in terms of looking into how others have handled this, but I think we need to say the things clear in this report. Like, we need to name the things plainly, and this is one that needs to really be directly stated as a problem that has affected everything.
Yeah.
I think there, again, this is speaking to further research, but I believe that there is language that can speak to a process, a cost-benefit analysis, if you will, and when I say that, I'm not excluding the external cost that Manna is referring to, where things are benefiting or costing outside of the system. I think there is language that could go into the contract that could be, you know, advisory to the agency, that would give the agency a pathway to evaluate a new technology, a new system, a new component, to say, this is worth pursuing, it's going to cost us money, and here's why it's valuable to us. So I do think this really merits further research, and I feel like this is an area where if we all, because everybody here is super intelligent and engaged, do our own research and come back to the table, we could come up with something that is really valuable and useful in the legislature's efforts to renegotiate this contract.
Okay.
And I think it's pretty, there are a couple different layers, right, of like just kind of grounding principles for the relationship, and I think restating, and then these become the recitals that then, you know, just get picked up in the contract language. And I think it's reframing it, and whether or not you want to do like triple bottom line, so you're looking at kind of the benefits and the people, all people in Ulster County, and then, you know, looking at things regarding local economies, circular economies. Like, I think there's some good frameworks out there, and then that goes in the report, and then that goes and picks up and becomes the recital of the new contract.
Agree.
Yeah.
Can we go on?
Yeah, why don't
Are people comfortable going on? Okay, I'm noticing typos in this document, and I apologize for that. I didn't have a lot of time with it, and I would like to revise it and send it back to Lizbeth. If it winds up getting attached to a report, I would be mortified to have enforcement language being a week of the month. But I do feel like, you know, the enforcement language really should be strengthened and expanded to include enforcement on all solid waste-related laws. We should enumerate perhaps the ones that are there, but also give guidance that if further laws are adopted, that it's covered. You know, I feel like I saw, and of course I'm not nearly as engaged as other people at this table were at the time, but the food waste law was something that was really being kicked back and forth between the county and the agency with regard to enforcement. And I think a lot of the reasons are in the prior discussion we just had about costs. So this is something that I think really needs some work and expansion.
Yeah,
and I would, in the earlier section, really want to be sure that we include, and you probably have this in your notes, but in my opinion, the food waste law is not being enforced. Very little enforcement is occurring on all the waste diversion laws, but I think that is something that needs to be addressed, and not that the education isn't happening and the outreach, but the enforcement, that's where it breaks down. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to backtrack to that discussion. I just want to be sure it gets included.
Yeah.
During the writing of the composting law, the agency was pushing back as far as them doing the enforcement. And I thought it was interesting that when we poached their director, that had kind of changed. And he says, you know, really you should have had the agency enforce the law, because it is everything solid waste. So, and if they have, you know, and it is within our mandatory source separation and recycling law that they do have an enforcement and compliance person there. So,
and we even have a hearing officer.
And we have a hearing officer. Yeah, and we will be working at the Recycling Oversight Committee, which is meeting this Tuesday. That is on the agenda again. So, and if the new director has any input on that or through their legal counsel, because I think it's a concern on both sides, the language of that enforcement existing document. And it is, I mean, it's from 1991, so it's time that it was reviewed and revised.
Tracy, did you have?
Yeah, I was just going to say to agree with March that, I mean, this section is strictly related to flow control, but I do think it's very important that we recommend a section that really speaks to the rest of the authority to enforce other laws. I mean, they're stated individually in the laws as they've been passed, and overarching in the solid waste law. But it should be in the contract as well, because it has been a point of contention. There's been a sort of, oh, it's your responsibility, it's your responsibility. So, and I know that will be some give and take, but I feel like it's also giving. Really acknowledging that authority from my perspective at this point, and again, we'll have more discussions around this table, gives more autonomy to the agency, and which is something that's where I'm leaning. I mean, I'm open to the discussion here, but that's where I'm leaning, like the original intent of this language, and really supporting that through whatever change. Not the contract language, but the creation language.
Can I move on?
Please.
And actually, this is the net service fee and diversion, net service fee adjustment. I think net service fee needs to be looked at. I want to say something about this contract overall and about this section of the contract. Listen, you guys, I have been somebody that has been critical of the agency and really pushed the agency in certain areas, and I feel like they've made tremendous progress. I feel like this contract has been a huge success, and we don't talk about it like that. This contract was, adopted, approved or executed in 1992, and it has stayed the course for all these years. We closed all these landfills. we, you know, have basically operated a solid waste management system at relatively reasonable costs in a most of the time compliant way. I mean, I just think we haven't acknowledged how valuable this contract has been, how successful this contract has been. And when I look at the net service fee calculation, that's where the rubber meets the road, and I go, a lot of thought went into this. And I was on the phone with Chair Baden, and he said, well, whoever drafted the contract, and I said, Jerry Benjamin drafted the contract, and and we're still benefiting from that wisdom today. But there are a couple places I want to look at net service fee that I think would help just express and enumerate the changes that we've been talking about, like a recognition that we should be more supportive of paying for certain things, and in particular agency expenses does not lay out the inclusion of enforcement responsibility there. I think it's implicit, but I think we should make it explicit, and that would bring some measure of comfort to the board there when they're looking at their costs and how much it would cost to enforce something like the food waste law.
And implementation of other...
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
other language, other...
Yes. And I have a comment here that you can't see, and I wish that it was visible here. I tried to figure out a way to make it. But in any case, I do think that you know, additional programs should be in there. And I also felt that handling of recyclables, you know, this regulated recyclable material revenue calculation should maybe take other things into account, although I'm going back to what Tracy was saying, that, you know, some of these other diversion tactics are not regulated recyclables per se. Maybe we want to have or recommend a diversion cost.
March, if you print
criteria.
The PDF showing comments,
okay.
it'll show the comments.
So yeah. You know, maybe there needs to be another section of the minus portion of this formula that includes costs of waste diversion.
Yeah. And thank you for highlighting the successes, because I think it's important that we acknowledge in our report this. We don't want our report to just be criticism. We want to say, these are things that are working and working well, and then these are the things that we need to talk more about. So I think it's important.
Yeah, and I just, on the subject of net service fee and back to Mammoth's comment earlier, I mean, as I recall, and I was just trying to review it, you know, there's some ingenuity in the way it was originally devised because, and we're going to get into this in terms of the calendar, because the agency delivers its budget, right? The legislature has a chance to comment, and not just comment, to make a request, basically, to say, we don't accept this. Goes back to the agency. The agency, by a two-thirds or whatever vote, could respond and override the legislature. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the legislature has the final say on the budget, albeit it has to be balanced within certain parameters. So in the end, the legislature could say, we don't accept that net service fee. You're going to raise your tipping fee. And then the legislature is going to bear the brunt of that, right? Then the legislature has to deal with the towns and say, we said you all have to pay more for the tipping fee or for the pool fee because we don't want this debt service fee. Obviously, there's some point where that's untenable, but I think that was the concept initially. We'll deal with the calendar stuff, because
yeah.
That is definitely an issue.
Yeah.
So when I read this section of the contract, I went to our Tim, our Director of Administration and Finance, and I said, I don't recall this ever happening in my 10 years in the county. And he said it hasn't happened in his 17 years in the county. So as far as, I mean, we've submitted a letter that says no service, no net service fee, but there's never been a budget. Like, our budget's not even complete in July at this point.
No, that has happened.
We have not submitted a budget in 17 years
to
the legislature for approval.
The tipping fee, not in July. No, you always, the agency was always late, and there was always pushback. We definitely got budgets. Usually came in like
for approval. That you've acted on.
No, but that's not fair to say that we've acted on. No comment is an action. No request for a change is an action. And we absolutely got budgets. When there were net service fees, there were budgets coming in. I was here when there were net service budgets came in. They sat before us. There was a calculation of what the net service fee was. And we didn't say no. The same thing. I mean, I was there when we said we were supposed to get this in July, and there was a back and forth that we can't really get it in July, so we'll get it in August. So then we got it in August. But the fact that the legislature didn't object is not to say that the legislature didn't consider. There just was no move to object to the budget.
Did you get a letter that says there will be a net service fee or not, or did you get actual budget?
We got an actual budget and a letter. We got both. We definitely got actual budget.
I mean, how far are you going back? Because my understanding is that in the time of the executive, at least, this has not happened.
Oh, no, I've seen it in the time of the executive.
Yeah,
sure. I've only been here. Okay. I mean, before the executive.
2011, there was a net service fee paid.
And I can go back further than that. We always presented to the environmental board. The thing was, though, they were also instructed that you couldn't say we can't have that budget. As far as the agency goes, it's because you might be able to provide input. There are public meetings, but they always said that we are a standalone organization, and you can't mandate. But it was Charlie shrugs it all the time. But it was always presented. In fact, a year or two ago, we recommended, because I think Tim Rose was there, and he said that they had artificially been keeping the tipping fee lower. And we said, don't subsidize the haulers because they're 80% of the budget.
Right.
So it was increased. The tipping fee was actually increased.
So I think what's becoming clear with this discussion is there's very different interpretations of what's happened in the past and what the contract actually says. So I think a key takeaway is we need to strengthen the language so there's a clear process of what needs to happen and what should, what the process is and what each side, because if the county didn't adopt a resolution saying we accept the budget,
right,
then I can see Mark's point of, well, there was no, it didn't happen. But if it went and the county talked about it and the committee said, well, we're okay with it, then nothing happened. So, Tracy.
Okay, but I mean, one thing I would say is clear to me from my experience is, in general, and I'd have to go back to look at my notes of pre-executive days, but in general, the agency was late in providing its budget. It definitely did not come in July. But I don't think that there's, and I'm going to look right now, the county legislature shall have the right, not later than the following August 15th, to request modification. It doesn't say that the county legislature has to vote to approve.
The county legislature,
but right now it doesn't. So the legislature wasn't remiss in not voting to approve. The legislature had no authority to vote to approve. The legislature had the right to request modifications, which is why I remember the conversation, and I could go back because I feel like maybe David Gordon would remember, to saying we only have till August 15th and we haven't gotten a budget. And there was this back and forth with the agency of, well, July 15th isn't a reasonable time to get a budget. We're not ready with a budget in July. And we're like, well, the contract says July. But I think to suggest that the no action was taken because the legislature never voted in the affirmative, that would have actually been out of order. There's no vote to say, yeah, we approve.
Yeah. And I don't think there should be.
Unless there's
a net service fee involved, but I mean, it would be like us regulating any other authority then.
Yeah, even if there's a net service fee, the idea we should have a discussion about what the back and forth is, and that's why I'm saying there's, in my opinion, there's a certain ingenuity in allowing the legislature, particularly, it's not because there's a net service fee, but because there's a possibility of a net service fee, allowing the legislature to request a modification, allowing the agency to push back, allowing the legislature to have the final say, but only within the realm of the numbers provided, which means that the legislature would say, essentially, okay, we don't want you to do that project. You've already issued the notes. not we, you know, these are our obligations. If you want us to provide for these obligations in a different way, you're going to bear the responsibility of that decision. That's what this contract currently says. It's just the legislature has been silent in terms of pushing back, other than the tension that came about related to ongoing net service fees. No legislature ever wanted to push it all to the towns, wanted the agency to do that, right? So it's like, it would have been absolutely inappropriate for the legislature to act in an affirmative when it had no authority to do so. Mm-hmm.
So I just want to note the calendar timing here, and I think that we should look at this as well. The agency does provide an annual settlement statement. The contract requires, unreasonably, by the way, that the agency provide their audited financials within 30 days of the close of the year. That's not going to happen. It doesn't happen. It's impossible. And then within 60 days of the audit presentation, they're supposed to provide a settlement statement that includes a net service fee. The net service fee is a look backwards. It is not a look forward. So the net service fee is, last year we ran a deficit, we need help. It's not next year's budget. So even the timelines here, we would, if the contract were, you know, if we were meeting the terms of the contract, which is not possible, the county would be, the county legislature would be receiving a certified audit by January 30th, and we would be receiving a settlement statement that includes the net service fee for the prior year by March 31st. That is not lined up with the annual budget cycle.
And the budget by July 15th or whatever.
Right.
I mean,
so I just think we need to take those timelines into consideration. I think everybody recognizes, like, you're not going to have your audited financials within 30 days. That is not reasonable. And the net service fee probably could be calculated faster than 60 days from the end of the audit, because once you have the audit, you know exactly where you're at. And obviously, the legislature should have those things when contemplating the next proposed budget. So I don't really know, because I haven't sat either at the agency or on the legislature, what the timing, ideal timing is. But I think with the agency and legislative members at the table and former members at the table, we should be able to come up with a time frame that really works here.
Can I just back on that? I can tell you just that historically there was severe push about July. The agency repeatedly said July was unreasonable. But when we're contemplating what the correct timeline is, we have to always keep in mind that it has to be backed into the legislative budget cycle, because if there is a net service fee, that mm-hmm. needs to be included in the legislative budget cycle. There is obviously still give. It's not August, but if you're allowing for this kind of back and forth that this contemplates, that's probably why these dates were originally created. So I think that's going to be something we should be having a conversation and making suggestions on, but it's going to require the agency's financial people, the county's financial people in terms of budget calendars.
So, again, the agency net service fee is a look backwards. If it's presented in March and it is due by the end of the year, you can incorporate it into the next year's budget. Oh, no, you can't.
No.
No, you can't.
It's going into
I think we have to read these sections separately, which is how they are. So there's whether or not the agency should be submitting its next year's budget and the timing around that. The net service fee as currently calculated and looked at in this, as Mark just said, there's two different six-month periods, one ending September 1st, one ending March 1st, and then by September 30th, I believe, or September 1st, we have to provide you, which is what we do every year, with a letter stating whether or not there's a net service fee. That will, I mean, I'm assuming we want to carry that over, that will always happen, and that will happen in a time that meets the legislative budget mm-hmm. calendar. But again, that's for the previous 2 6-month cycles, that net service fee. Then the idea of whether or not the legislature or whoever putting it into the budget approves the agency's budget for the next year, that's a whole different.
But if I may, I understand that in relation to the look back net service fee, but but not acknowledging that a budget looking forward might is also that. Contemplating a net service fee or not, because that's what's always happening. It's not in the fine detail, but that's the debate a legislature's always going to have nothing to say about something that's fully balanced and doesn't have any. So that's my point is that look forward inherently, once you start doing projects and taking on bonding, it is a projection of where we're going to be.
Because it's going to be a deficit budget.
So it's like there's a exactly.
Is there a different terminology that can be used rather than that service fee for the look ahead? So the look back one is clearly a net service fee reimbursing for running the deficit.
It's a deficit budget. You're adopting an unbalanced budget, and the legislature would receive a draft of that and acknowledge, like, okay, we recognize there's going to be $1 million unbalanced budget here, and that's going to result in a net service fee, and we're going to put into our next year's budget at the county this line to incur this cost.
With an expectation that it may occur and may not. Yeah. But I'm just thinking, is there a different language that could be used rather than the net service fee? Because I think we're fixated on the term net service fee, which I agree is the look back. But to say, well, if the agency comes in and says, we want to invest in this new piece of equipment for next year, and we know we're going to need this much money, can the legislature call it something different than a net service fee to put that in their budget to appropriate that funding to be able to invest with the agency? And, you know, it just seems to me, I know it's terminology, but I'm sorry, it's hard to finish where I'm headed because I don't really know.
I'm speaking directly on that.
Yeah.
Are you okay with that? So we've never done this in Ulster County, and I'm not necessarily recommending it right now, but it gets to what the chair is speaking about. In Rockland County, they charge user fees. It goes to every property, and it is not a tax, but it's on their tax bill. So, like, if you were looking for something as a way for the candidate funds, that would be something like, unlike the net service fee. But again, I'm not necessarily recommending that. It's just a possible.
Well, it's a capital project, is really what it is. Kind of, if they're investing in something in the future. So, yeah, Mana.
That's what I was thinking in response to your suggestion that the net service fee is retroactive. But in terms of the budget, I do think there should be language in the contract because of the net service fee that requires the legislature to approve or disapprove or make modifications. And I also think that, I think you used the word I was thinking of, that in some cases there be a project fee. And I don't know what's going to end up being called that, but the net service fee, you know, I was trying to slip in the RIC as it wasn't budgeted for, but it's needed, so come back to the legislature for a net service fee. But, you know, maybe a project-specific fee or a capital project fee.
Well, do you mind if I respond to that real quick, Tracy? So that's where that's where my thinking is. There's always the 5-year capital project plan that is presented with the budget every year. And I don't think there's any restriction that a capital project of the county can't be to fund the UCRA for a specific, I don't know.
Net service fee is not just capital, you guys. It could be operating.
No, I'm trying to separate net service fee and what we're talking about is investment in sort of what Manna was saying in a specific project, because if they want to buy a new MRF, they know what the cost is going to be, how to get those funds. One way to get those funds would be the county could invest in their capital project plan to pay toward that. I don't know if it works or not. I'm just throwing out as an idea. Yeah.
I just want to say that I'm not sure if it works. I have to think about that, if that works, and if it's allowed to invest in public authorities.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure, but I want to say that I strongly oppose both of these suggestions, because from my perspective, if we're going to be supporting an autonomous agency, we have to support its autonomy. And when we focus, when we start to pick individual projects to basically assess taxes to, or assess, then we reduce autonomy. But from my perspective, even more importantly, this is the problem with the landfill, right? Okay, so where's the public support for investing in Project X when it's going to cost this amount? You know, these are complicated things that gauging public support for is difficult. And I think the only way to really get it done is to give an autonomous agency sort of our goals, our directives, but then the ability to execute. If it comes down to, okay, there's one project and that's going to cost this, and then that project's going to have this net service fee, then there's going to be aggravation about that project costing taxpayers more when it doesn't actually generate any money, when it's a loser financially. What person's going to want to pay more on their taxes to recycle something that is actually losing them money? Like, just go to the transfer station, go out in the world and hear what people think. Like, this is about a greater public good that's harder to quantify. And I think when we get into the micromanaging, we get into a dangerous space. So I feel very strongly that if we make a decision to continue contractually engaged with a public authority that is an autonomous agency, I want to give it back its autonomy. We have a new executive director. We have a board that's gelling. I want to transmit through legislation or otherwise intent in terms of what this county wants to see done, where its priorities are, and then I want that agency to do it. And if that means a net service fee, I don't want it attached to vilifying one project, be it a landfill or an increase or a better MRF or anything, because I just think that that's going to stand in the way of real progress.
I completely disagree. I think one of the reasons we haven't made more progress is that it is autonomy. And when good suggestions came from the legislature or the executive branch, they were rejected because of autonomy, and we're really far behind. I don't think that the agency has. They have done a great job of maintaining, but they have not increased waste diversion in over 20 years that I know of. I could be wrong. You know, I'm not looking at the numbers, but I've been following it closely, going to meetings and everything. So I think building in some form of checks and balances and requiring collaboration it will end up with a better result. And I also want to say, if you don't mind, that the separation, the autonomy was to protect the elected officials basically from siting the landfill. And that's why the language is so clear about autonomy. And I want to ask everyone in this room, and I'll be asking it beyond, to stop bad-mouthing citing a landfill and saying how horrible it is and how difficult it is. The more you say that, the more you reinforce that notion, And I really think that one way or another, whatever technologies are used, if it is in the plural, we're still going to have a place for the residual. So the idea is to create it in a way that is that maximizes benefit, not profit, but benefit to the host community and the whole county.
Amanda? Yeah.
I would just quickly say that if their language is clear and the intent is clear that the agency is to implement any laws that are or mm-hmm. initiatives that are passed by the county mm-hmm. and that's mutually understood, then we give them the autonomy to do it the best way to
yeah.
see fit and have the experience to do. And I think that that was one of the problems with the fee rate law and its implementation.
So from my to my mind, it's not necessarily the autonomy of the agency that's been the problem. It's really the minimus, the lack of including, you know, clarity on these additional laws, but also the requirement to minimize costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Me, Laura, and then I'll come back to you, Tracy.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, I'm going to take a middle stand here. You know, because my fear about highly regulating a vendor and making demands is it will have the same problem we do with Catskill Mountain Railroad now, where there's like a select group. Just we shouldn't be attacking any one vendor, but we can certainly negotiate through a contract. And the idea of clarifying any new laws that we have or any revised laws is very important. You know, however, that doesn't preclude the county from contracting with another vendor. And we may even want to somehow put that language in. So if we decide to do construction and demolition debris or do mattresses, you know, perhaps we would want to divert that or contract with someone else. So we can still continue to move forward as a county to follow our vision, but I'm concerned about you know, putting too many demands in here through elected officials, because that can always go sideways. Right now it's working out very well, and we have a good group of board members, and we have an excellent executive director. You know, if things change, if the body changes, it could go sideways again.
Let me get Tracy, then Mark, then Amanda.
I would express, I think other people, based on hands going up, are going to speak this, because I would express concern about using the language vendor and also suggesting that we could start doing other things outside of the contract, because I'm not really sure there's pretty strict regulation in terms of solid waste and its definitions and regulated recyclables. But I actually, you know, I wanted to sort of echo Amanda's thoughts in that, and also remind everyone what the legislature did not so long ago in relation to weighing in on a proposed landfill site that wasn't actually an active proposed landfill site mm-hmm. outside of a process of siting, just to highlight how highly charged this is, and to say that my perspective of the way the back and forth happens is through clear articulation of legislative intent through legislation, right? So as the legislature passes legal policies, if the contract says that the agency is responsible for enforcing, that's the mechanism. That's the way it happens. You know, and the other way that it happens is through choosing a board, right? Which is the next thing we'll talk about, what that board makeup looks like. But that's really the two ways that this happens. The idea of the back and forth to me is untenable, and the legislature, which I sat on for a long time and was greatly disappointed in its action, showed how deep this, like, the political pressures run, just how deep when it voted in the way that it did, when there was zero consequence. So what about when there's consequence? What about when there was zero consequence? And look what happened. And I'm just saying that because it's like, what's going to happen when we're really doing something? What's going to happen when, as Mama suggested, we have to site our landfill, however be it small? I mean, you really don't need a crystal ball to tell you what's going to happen, which is why it's crazy. It's like, I mean, this was created to create that buffer, and it's still needed. So I think we need to tighten this to do what Amanda said, to make sure that it's very clear that the authority is given, and not only given, is required to enforce all standing legislation, which is a living thing.
Mm. Yeah. Let me get Mark and then Amanda, then I want to give Mark time to do the last piece on this. So.
Tracy spoke to the vendor piece, so I'm not going to speak long about that. I would just say, you know, we are not similar to any other vendor. We have a board that's appointed by the legislature. We're a public benefit corporation. And as far as progress, like, I just want this commission to understand, like, this is an agency who has had a significant amount of change in the last 5 or 6 years, and staff really feel it. And so I think there's been 15 different board members over the last 5 years. There's been 5 or 6 executive directors in that same amount of time. So when we're speaking about whether autonomy or not is the cause of progress, I just want, like, hopefully we'll get something in the contract. We'll have a stable board going forward. I don't plan on going anywhere, and we will help really move forward with some things. But I think stabilization is important.
Let me get Amanda and then Laura.
I just, again, want to say this is a public benefit agency for the purpose of solid waste management and recycling, and that we shouldn't be parsing out any bits of the waste stream outside of that. And it, really, everything should be at the agency.
Because we want to hire vendors.
I
don't completely agree. The state said that we have to have a public authority, but not all public authorities run and operate recycling and solid waste facilities. So, I still think there's some wiggle room in there.
Yeah. I don't think there is. I think right now, Section 303 of the contract says the county shall deliver all solid waste to the agency, and I think that... Yeah, that the agency could hire vendors. The original contract I'm looking at. But be that as it may, I would like to just go back to the timeline issue for a second and say I think it would be very helpful to put together a timeline that also incorporates the Public Authorities Accountability Act requirements on this agency, the county legislative budget timeline, the audit, like, when are your audits actually done, and I'll take that on, like, a draft, and I'll go back to the agency, get their dates, go to the legislature, get their dates, and come back to you guys with just, like, what are the actual dates, and then we can talk about, you know, what really, reality versus what we want to get to, what we want to strive for. I'd like to take you to the last.
Before you do, yes. Can I just kind of yeah. one thing to flag for, yeah. In this section that you highlighted, the one that we're working on, that came in toward the end, I noticed, and I'll go over this with a fine-tooth comb, but I noticed that for the purposes of this subsection, it says the term county legislature shall mean the legislative body of the county, commonly known as county legislature, or a duly appointed committee or representative. That makes me a...
What page are you in? What section are you in?
16. Page 16, right before the beginning of section 402. Oh, yeah. Just because... I can't imagine what a duly appointed representative, and I would be very nervous about a legislative body just saying, oh, you know what, we're going to appoint legislator X or so-and-so, one person to do this. So I just want to make sure we flag that for future.
Take it out. We should recommend that we take that out.
That just seems, that
seems like it would be better.
It's never been abused, but...
Could be.
The potential exists.
And again, you know, this is the whole contract. This was a very brief overview of it. I think that everybody should look at it and see if we have additional comments we want to make on it. I just wanted to highlight the last section here, really, and this is more a question for those people who served on the legislature. are you getting the information that you need? You know, I identified we don't have a county administrator, we don't have a treasurer, but are you getting the kind of information you want and you need? Do we want to include additional information here? I don't know, but I wanted to put it out there.
I could just say, and Nana will be able to speak to what's currently happening, but I can say that the last time that I remember getting regular, under Tim Rose, we got regular monthly reports. Mm-hmm. At every environment committee meeting, they came, they made a report, they provided monthly numbers, and documentation was submitted and was in the legislative record every month, 12 months a year. And then it stopped. Like, then it stopped hard. There was a point after Tim's leaving where it was a hard stop, and it was never reestablished. And occasionally, like, there'd be reporting, but without the numbers, without the monthly numbers. And that prior to that stoppage, it goes back as long as I've been a legislator, to whatever, 2004, monthly reporting. Tonnage reports, yeah. Numbers, everything. We got like long pages.
And they used to go directly to the environmental board. It's my understanding, we were always told if we want it, it's included with their minutes, their monthly board minutes, so you can go online. But I did notice 4 years ago they stopped leachate, so it doesn't include the extensive information that they were providing.
I could probably pull up old ones. But I'm sure we also have it in our record. They were very thorough. He'd come and he'd give a breakdown. He'd answer questions. He'd go through. He'd talk about highlights and changes. He'd explain why numbers went up and down. It was a standing, probably 10 minutes of every committee meeting, and then it stopped.
So are there, I think it makes sense to go back and look at what was presented and what is available now, because I know that the board is looking every month at these numbers.
Yeah.
They are being generated.
The data is actually reported on, not just shared.
It doesn't make it into the minutes,
yeah.
It's just attached. But here's the second question for you guys. Is all the data you want actually being tracked, generated, and reported on? Meaning, like, I that's just a question I have, and, you know, maybe it's a question back to the agency itself, you know, is that reporting really capturing the breadth of what you're doing, and to the extent that there are additional responsibilities that are going to be taken on by the agency, such as food waste, engaging on food waste enforcement, for example, is there additional reporting that should be required? So I just want to flag that, like, especially... The contract has to be drafted in a way that anticipates future additional responsibilities and reporting therefore.
I think what I'm seeing, the reports that I've seen, is tonnage reports, and you brought up a key, enforcement. I don't know that there is a report done of, maybe there is internally within the agency, but of what enforcement has been done in the previous month, and that would answer a lot of the questions that are put out there. I know from the town's perspective, we get a great report at the end of the year because we have to do for the DEC and back to the UCRA our recycling report, and the information that we get in January is invaluable to be able to do our February report. But it's information that we're kind of guessing at until we actually get that. I mean, every year I'm surprised at. And I always look back at the previous year to say, where were we different in month to month, and why were we different? And I don't know that other people are doing that. But it's just the data, the raw data, is important to be out there to be talked about.
Totally.
So.
I have to leave, and I also want you guys to know I will not be here for the first meeting in May. I am committed to I will hold this time for every week going forward after that point, but this was a vacation previously planned. I will prepare a timeline working with the entities that we discussed previously. It'll probably won't have it for your next week meeting, but 2 weeks from then. And then also, let me just say, I would be happy to take the minutes from this conversation, take this memo, and write a section for your consideration on this contract if you feel that is helpful.
Yeah.
And I do want to say that adding in to the reporting enforcement, I think, would help us to understand, and that would be for all the relevant laws, and there may be no enforcement for some of them, but that way we can see a previous member stress the fact that there was no enforcement except for flow control. And so I think that should be part of the reporting.
Mandatory source separation is also part of the enforcement. I mean, our position is the recycling compliance officer, which does both flow control. It's a currently vacant position, but they do flow control and the source separation law. The agency has not been designated as the food waste enforcement agency at this point. And so I'm not sure about disposable straws if we were designated for that either, or, you know, I mean, I think the agency will try to enforce the laws that we've been the designated enforcement officers.
If I could, just because March, can I indulge in you for five more minutes? So we normally are done at 11. I just wanted to show you. I met with Amanda this week. We kind of kicked around some ideas. I have a bullet point section of this report that we've sort of talked about. I just want to share it with you. It was just sort of finalized last night, and which is why I've given it to Liz. But so this. Obviously, the working title, we'll figure out what it is. My thoughts are we start with an introduction. We then talk about the committee, the resolution that established us, the committee membership, the history of how we reviewed it. Then we talk about existing legislation and contracts. Then we go into the four identified topics that we've talked about. We do an introduction of all four. The first is diversion. I kind of laid it out, an overview of the current types of diversion, where we can deal with the data, the types, the percentage, the regulatory, the methods for each of the people involved, the UCRA, the haulers, the commercial, the residential. We talk about the reuse center. Then I'd like to go into, and we've talked about the impediments to waste diversion, and there front and center is enforcement. Cost, infrastructure, regulatory, either state or county, education, then go into the specific identified categories where we talked about from the SWIP. You know, some obviously don't need any discussion, some need more than others. Then we talk to solutions and recommendations. We would then go into the disposal section, very similar topic.
Why does disposal say overview current state of diversion? It just should say
It should say. It's a typo.
I won't be here for your next conversation, and I'm sure you guys are going to get into this a lot.
Next time.
But I just want to say that to me, cost in diversion is really about markets. And I think a lack of a market has to be part of that conversation.
Let me add that.
Okay.
Because that's...
As for Clara, are you talking... Is this an outline of...
This is an outline of what the report will be. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm presenting it at short notice here, but I just wanted to get a little bit of feedback as to, like, what we just added.
I have some feedback.
Yeah. Can I finish the sort of the... And then we'll go back to the feedback. So then we handle disposal in the same way we've handled diversion, the impediments, the solutions and recommendations. Then we get into the intergovernmental management, the contract, and I'm going to add in there the net service fee.
That's really part of the contract.
Yeah. Local transfer stations and their hauling contracts, I think it's something we should at least touch on.
Because it is
intergovernmental.
We haven't talked about this intergovernmental section at all, and I just think feel like there's no. You cannot make the outline yet.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Fair enough. I was just trying to, you know, sort of put a very very draft, and then the last section that we haven't touched yet is the economic part, then a conclusion, and then the appendix and attachments. So I just wanted to, I know there's been questions about what's the report going to be, After Amanda and I met, Amanda has created a lot of flow charts that can be very helpful in pictures that describe these sections and incorporate it into these sections. So let me let Tracy...
You want to go first?
Okay.
So the flow charts are just kind of like a visual way of representing the relationships, because that always seems to be like you can spend the first three or four meetings just talking about how the pieces kind of, and the regulatory versus the programmatic versus the contracts versus the waste versus the recycling. So it's just meant to capture some of that. I do think that there's like, there's, you know, we got into a lot of nuts and bolts on these different topics, right? But I think for the report, like it's almost like a SWOT analysis. Mm-hmm. So I really would, there's a little bit of an inventory, but then it really should be like SWOT for each one of these. And then at the end, it's really about kind of those knitting it back together, because we ultimately have to have a contract that knits it back together of those themes. And I see those kind of coming right into, along with some more detailed analysis of the contract. There's like a nuts and bolts level. You know, the contract needs to be, has to have a new paradigm, right? So you have to, like, both in this document and this review, kind of get people there, but then also set up, and that's why I'm seeing these principles that become like the recitals, that become the groundwork for redefining this relationship and the role of the agency in reaching these goals, communal mm-hmm. goals. Mm-hmm. So that's, anyway, I'm almost there, but I that's,
yeah, and I'm going to continue to meet with Amanda and to, you know, sort of finish or wrap up the what we sort of started this past week. So
yeah, just before quick before March goes, because I just want to hearken something you said earlier about the report being, I think you said short, whatever, pointed. And what concerns me about this is I feel like that's a long way from what March is saying, and it's also, and that's, I think, kind of what you're getting at, Amanda, a long way of what we're charged with. Like, we've done a lot of work to get the background, like, that's what you talk about, the mm-hmm. to what we're charged with, which is really pretty simple. I mean, it's like, I'm going to just read it to everyone to remind that we're established to review UCRA-enabling legislation, operations, policies, and the contractual agreements with the agency and the county, and to recommend reform.
Okay.
So when we start getting into like all the detail on diversion and disposal, it's like we're a little off topic. Like, we really have to keep the overarching focus, the bigger picture. Like, the SWOT is what then like takes all that discussion and kind of says like, here's where your threats are, or here's like the part of the system that's really strong, and then that's what we build on. That's why I keep going back to
my only sort of fear of that is we have a very new legislature in when I was there Tuesday night looking at the membership, the three of you have a lot of history with all this and you know, photographic memory of when things happened because you were there in the room. And I'm fearful that the current legislature doesn't have that background, and I think we have to provide it in a very broad review, or at least tell them where to find the information. Yeah. But I think we need to, and this is just, as I said, a very rough draft of our discussion. We can certainly condense.
I do not want to see a recitation of every possible diverted item in the report. Like, that to me would be taking us way off course.
Yeah.
So, and I'm concerned about that.
And reference this WIP. Like, that's where
the work's been done.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
no, and that's why I say...
We can't see... You know, this, again, I just feel like it's going to take a lot.
Identified categories from this WIP.
You reference this WIP, and it's sitting out there in the ether. It's not a real document because it hasn't been finished,
right,
and we can't find a way to get it finished. So,
and I,
between the agency, the executive branch, and the legislature. I also want to just say that there is a, in addition to the contract, there's a proposal to disband the agency. And we haven't talked about that because we haven't got to intergovernmental.
Right.
But I just want to be sure that we address that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that there'll be consensus. But if there are varying opinions, then they can be stated in the report.
Yeah, I mean, there were things in this draft that are ahead of, you know, ahead of their time. I just sort of put what, because I knew we were talking about the contract, and just from the supervisor standpoint, there's the hauling contracts that I sort of lumped into the contract. So, yeah, Amanda.
Just along with the document review, which I think is going to be very important to have that list kind of up front with links in it,
mm-hmm.
so people can go to the public benefit, you know, the PBA law
right.
and then to the there have been other review commissions. I've never seen those documents. I would love to see them just for, like, I think they should be part of the record.
You're talking about the other legislative committees?
I have them in hard copy. I don't think they exist. Like, that part does kind of make me crazy. Like, if you've had some kind of, like, asset mapping in the past, like, why are we doing it again? You know,
well, I think the short answer is that we're doing it again because nothing's happened with the first time.
But again, it's like, they obviously did work, right? It's
right.
just that it wasn't then implemented. We didn't have the freight train coming at us,
right.
which is the end of the contract. Like, that's much more motivation.
Yeah.
So I would love to see those.
I'll bring
there.
Thank you.
That's helpful. Since we are just a few minutes after 11, so our next meeting is 2 weeks from today, 9:30, the May 2nd. We then have the next three currently scheduled, so the 2nd, 9th, 16th, 23rd. To let you know, I did send request to the legislative chair and to the clerk of the legislature to extend us by the 1 month, as we said last meeting, as we voted on last meeting. I also sent it out of courtesy to the two sponsors of the original resolution. I talked to the chair and the clerk Tuesday night. I didn't talk to the legislator Stewart or Maloney, who were the original sponsors. The chair indicated he thought it would be no issue. He was going to discuss with the clerk whether they needed to take an official action by resolution to extend us or not. I haven't gotten an answer on that. The letter to the haulers is in process of going out. We're sending it both by mail and by email for those that we have emails. Mark got me the list. It's simply an invitation to send us thoughts and comments on the system. It also, I invited anyone who wished to come to either of our two meetings in May, the haulers directly, in case they want to come speak to us directly. Sometimes direct communication is better than written. So I'm just keeping you up to speed on that. And so if we do get the okay from the legislature, then I would propose that we then schedule, not now, but once we get the okay, schedule meetings in June to then wrap this up by the end of June. So, and I think meeting every week, you know, I think we're in a good state. What I would like to do, though, you know, I'm working with Amanda on the report. Is there someone who feels really either determined or able? The disposal section is something that I freely admit I have some knowledge of, but not a lot of knowledge, and certainly there's people who know more than I do about the disposal. In terms of sort of spearheading that section, and maybe it's Amanda and I working together to sort of do both, and I'm okay with that.
I'm not volunteering, but I would like the disposal section to include a list of what the agency is actually looking at or considering.
Okay, understood.
Thank
Can you share this just so we can...
Yeah, I sent it to Liz, and because of the whole time frame, it'll be in the... I'm going to update with a couple of quick changes, but remember, this was just for today's discussion.
But maybe,
yeah.
Liz, can you just email it out to everybody?
Yep.
In case I'm either.
Yeah, I sent it to her, but it got to her this
morning. Are you going
to
revise it?
I just did, so I'll send it. I'll send it to you before I leave.
Can I clarify what Mana's looking for?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I don't. You're talking about what we're looking at as far as disposal options. So, you're talking about alternative technologies like diverting out of landfills, or are you talking about disposal? I'm curious on what you're asking the agency for.
Whatever is being considered for disposal. Obviously, landfill is being considered.
Right.
And that could be regional or countywide. And in the solid waste plan, it lists
9 or 10 different alternate options to a landfill, right?
Well,
gasification.
That I know was recommended was export by rail.
Right.
But I would like to know what other technologies are being considered, whether they're in the local solid waste plan or not. If the local solid waste plan doesn't list it to be considered, but there might be other...
Gotcha.
Yeah. So just... we haven't discussed all those technologies, and we're not making recommendations about them, because I think it's too soon to, in terms of a deadline for a report.
So that's what I guess I'm getting at, like, what's the purpose of us providing this information to this commission if it's not going to make it into the report or recommendation?
It'll make it in as a recommendation to follow up, rather than, I don't think we're ready to, if we had more time, we could discuss each one. But you're also, if I'm not mistaken, there's still RFPs outstanding or RFIs, and I just want to have the report say that the agency has considered whatever the language you want to provide. But I don't want to have people assume that it's just going to be a landfill. I would love that to be the case. I happen to personally believe that an in-county landfill is the best solution given what's already in place with a monofill. But other things are being considered, and some of them are in the solid waste plan and some of them might be beyond the solid waste plan. And I think one of the things that might be considered is a form of pre-processing before landfilling, and there are actually several forms. So just whatever is known.
Okay. I will just say it's going to be early in this process to provide an exhaustive list, but that the agency is open to looking at all solutions.
Yeah,
and
really haven't looked.
It's going to be hard to define what we're looking at. I mean, I'm going out and doing research. I'll present ideas to the board as they come along, but in the timing of this, it's going to be hard to say this is what we're looking at.
Are you constrained by the local solid waste management plan? Are you, like, how is that supposed to, because there is some high-level review of technologies
and studies to be done, and some
right.
of that's been pushed
and
out.
The next step in feasibility, and, you know, so how does that...
Yeah.
The vendor comes to you with some great idea, like, and it's not in the local solid waste management plan. What's the path there?
I would assume we would consider it, and you know, start questioning it. I don't know if the anaerobic digestion was in the, I don't actually remember.
I think it is. I think almost everything.
I think everything. I can't think of anything that can come forward that is not in the Solid Waste Management Plan.
It might be almost like an update on
there were specific limits. There were very
specific. There's gasification, like there's biogas was in the Solid Waste Management Plan. There was export by rail. There's anaerobic digestion. There is incineration. I mean, there's like.
I don't recall. It was very specific of what things needed to be done in the first year, what things needed to be done.
Right, you're talking about the task and feasibility studies.
And say a very short list of what is in the plan and anything else that is being considered that is not in the plan.
I don't think there's going to be anything that's not in the plan. It might be, but I'd have to revise my memory, you know, go and read it. But from what I remember reading it a long time ago, I was like, this seems to cover everything that...
Tracy, there's a few that were identified for feasibility studies, but there are other alternative technologies looked at the plan.
Man, is that in the law or in the plan?
No, in the solid waste.
In the plan. Okay, because I got the law.
And the answer is that if that's going to change, then it does need to... ultimately, a proposal needs to be passed by the board and then passed by the legislature, as was the case with the solid waste plan.
Well, I think what Amanda is touching on, if there's things in the plan that are a hindrance to the agency from being able to explore, we need to then make recommendations to the legislature to change whatever is the hindrance. But if it's already open to all the possibilities, then there is no... I think it's more a process question rather than a title, a naming type of question.
And then the other question is, in the biennial update, do you say, we've done a feasibility study, we've evaluated this, we've gone up for RFP for that, you know, is there an update on kind of... the actions that were identified in the plan?
Yeah, there's an update that is in draft form right now that we're circulating.
Right, and that's more of a status update. If we were looking at making substantive modifications to the plan, we would need to go back through the approval process.
Right. But I'm kind of looking for if you say that you're going to evaluate, the next step is a feasibility study for X, Y, or Z technology. The update is going to say, yes, we did the feasibility study, or no, we didn't do the feasibility study.
Our biennial update, if there was a task year, like 2022 or 20, and this biennial update is for 22 and 23, if there was a task that was established to be done in that year, it's either marked completed or it's marked not complete, and the reasons why we didn't complete it, which could have been... a shift in the...
Well, there's the pandemic. There was all the turnover.
The
right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole lot of reasons. We are behind. There's no doubt about it. But it's, in a sense, almost fortuitous because, you know, now we can do this all holistically as far as...
But that's what I'm getting to is that...
But it needs to get done because we don't know what...
We have it. We just haven't approved it yet. We have the biannual update, and we are considering it. It will be in the next couple of months. It will be, you know, and I don't know what
we'll do by May 1st.
All right. So then it'll be at this meeting. We'll approve it, and then it'll be everybody can see it.
Can we make a recommendation that the for waste diversion for waste disposal that the agency will propose a plan within 12 months or something. It's been kicked down the road a long time.
Right. I wouldn't sit here and say yes. I wouldn't sit here and say no. It's something we should discuss with the board.
Well, we can make recommendations to the legislature.
Right, you can make
the legislature can do what they...
Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, that sort of begs the question, you know, when the legislature approved a local solid waste management plan that had feasibility studies not just contemplated, but, you know, essentially required, like the feasibility, and believe me, these were points of debate. I almost
voted no because the rail export I did not agree with. There was extensive debate about it, and I said I do not think we should spend any money on it, and I wasn't going to throw out the proverbial baby with the bathwater, so I said, all right, I'll vote for this plan, but I do not agree with that. But we approved a plan that has benchmarks, and I can understand being late, but I guess this is a question. It's like if now the board decides, well, we don't, this rail export feasibility study is ridiculous, we don't want to do it, does that mean you have to go to the legislature and say we're not going to do it? Because just an update saying we're not doing it is really, it's like, I'm not saying the answer, I'm saying I don't know. Like if we approve a plan that says we're going to study A, B, C, D, and this is what we're going to do, and I understand being late, what happens when you say we don't want to study D anymore?
I think any substantive changes. So I think there would be a question of whether to complete or not complete a feasibility study. But I believe any substantive changes would require a modification to the 10-year plan, which would then again require approval from the board and the legislature and the DEC. The updates are status, the biennial updates are status updates. We've provided a draft to the board for comment. There isn't a mechanism, like it's not a resolution or approval. That's not how it was done 2 years ago. So we provided it to the board for comment, and then it's due May 1st.
But what I'm going to remind, remind this table, just because, again, it's sort of been out of my mind, too, and again, these dates, I get that you're behind, that in 20, there was supposed to be a feasibility study for siting a local landfill and bio-high-tech technology, specific bio-high-tech technology in 2020.
This wasn't approved in 2020.
Okay, but I'm saying this is the thing that's before. I don't care about the dates. Just follow me. I don't care. I'm just telling you the dates. 20, and again, I don't care about the dates. I get we're behind. A lot of things happen. 21 comes infrastructure upgrades to current facility. These are feasibility studies and rail transportation study. 22 is using the results from those options, which is limited, landfill, bio-high-tech, rail, using those to decide on what you're going to do. And the next year, get ready. I know you know this. Use the results to choose the alternative. And then starting 24 this year, begin design and permitting for either bio-high-tech, landfill,
right,
upgrading facilities, or not like any. So we're in a substantive change here. And some of it's good. I feel like rail is it, but I'm just saying, like, this is what's approved. Again, believe me, I can't say it enough. I don't care about the dates, aren't what I care about. I get that we've shifted. The idea of, like, now undertaking other things, and that's what some is different than what was approved by the legislature.
So,
which could be a very good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, I'm just saying it's different.
That's a good point.
And what's important to me, the one thing that's important to me, is the idea of, like, we need to be moving to a finite conclusion, but when you keep expanding, or if you take what was done, everyone seemed to agree wasn't anything that they wanted the public to see, but then the public saw, and you take that as like a landfill feasibility study and say, oh, I see that, no.
Right.
But I'm saying at some point there needs to also be a conversation of, if this is changing, how does it change with legislative approval? How does that communication happen to get to the same page? Because the point of this was that we would be moving toward design and permitting.
Yeah.
By now, but okay, even for Saturday.
Can I just sort of say it directly? So what I'm hearing from you is similar to the conversation we had before of the timeline is obviously what's in on paper and approved is not being followed. But I think what has to be answered is what should be the change? You know, should we just remove the timeline entirely? I don't think so. But there should be some timeline. But is that timeline too restrictive?
Obviously, they're all required. I mean, this is the DC
document. I have to say, you're recharacterizing what I said erroneously in that.
Okay.
In that, I'm actually, the timeline is something I think we all acknowledge. There are reasons why the timeline's off. And
my bigger concern is the substantive changes to the, not the timeline, but the things that are being considered. We approved a plan that, yes, it, a report that spoke about all kinds of things, but the plan approved landfill, BioHiTech, a named company, BioHiTech, and rail, and upgrades to current facilities. That's it. Those are the four things that had to be considered, a decision. And the reason there was a lot of pushback is that, and I, again, I remember being at that table, as was Manna, as was Laura, that we wanted to make sure we were getting to a resolution, right, which is why the choices were limited. That could be changed, but I'm much more concerned about the change in the substantive changes of what we're discussing and how deeply we're looking into them rather than the timeline. I get that the timeline shifted.
No, I was just trying to say that in our report to the legislature of what we're saying to the legislature, I apologize if it sounded like I was misinterpreting. I was just trying to say, what should we be saying to the legislature? Obviously, this is adopted. We know it's not happening. So what should our report say to the legislature about what should happen? And that's really when I brought up timeline.
Thereby, whatever, your updates are acknowledging delays in timeline.
Delays in time. Yeah, but there's not been anything that said this is not I just want to speak to that. I think we need to be factual. Like right now in the next 60 to 90 days, we have Cornerstone coming back with a landfill feasibility study. So, like, the work is being done. Nobody's
are you doing BioHiTech at the same time? Because it was a parallel path. Are you doing specifically BioHiTech?
That has not been, like, a priority on my plate, but I'm not saying that we're not doing that feasibility study. That hasn't been done yet.
It may also not be the right thing. That's
right. So we may, as we look further into it, then we would have to go, that would be a substantive possible change, that we'd have to get all approval.
That is something that I hope that you're undertaking in terms of whether or not you want to have a conversation with this legislature about substantive changes, because I would argue you probably need some. And on some level, you're doing it by having and entertaining other conversations, because what's here is limited by in scope. It's very limited in terms of the directive of what's going to be on.
Just one second, man. And in terms of saying it wasn't happening, I just meant in terms of the time schedule. That's all I meant. Yeah. I didn't mean it wasn't happening at all. So go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, and in terms of something like BioHiTech, the conversation then was, we'll respond when we see the feasibility study, because the agency wanted to consider it. And so we haven't had a chance to take it out if it needs to be. The other thing I just want to say, again, the big picture, is the urgent. I agree that the timeline has to be adjusted because of COVID and staffing changes and so forth, but the timeline that we're all up against is climate change, and we are spending a lot of money and creating a lot of pollution to send our waste to Seneca Meadows. So I think there is another kind of urgency that's not a political one. It's not a who's in charge of what. It's that we have to do everything. Keep that timeline
in
mind.
Considering that, we have to build a system that has resilience for the community. That's why I harp on composting, so we can feed ourselves. We're probably going to need building materials. I mean, if you look at what's coming at it, we're screwed. You know, I mean, there's just no way around it at this point. So we have to start considering resilience as a county, and the agency, and all the agencies in the county have to consider that. So this will need, in a sense, it's almost like we're magically thinking here in some ways, because we don't know what's coming at us. So I would just ask this commission to look at this in a very holistic way. You know, I mean, there's going to be problems we can hardly imagine. You know, people who are going to have to leave Long Island to come up here. You know, things like that are going to happen. They might happen in 10 years, they might happen in 50 years, but they're going to happen.
They already have.
And so just, man, it's a good point, but I mean, it's it's something that is more holistic than, you know, just even the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency.
But I also think there's a difference in people relocating because of COVID, which I think is what you were both saying, it's already happened, and mass migration because of sea level rise, which I think is what
Sims with you. It's all connected.
Yeah.
I hate to keep bringing it up, but I am obsessed with it, and I acknowledge that.
Thank you. I've been arrested 4 times.
Okay, if I could ask one more indulgence, we have the March 21st minutes. We're going to table the April 4th. Can I ask for a motion to approve the March 21st?
I'll move it.
Okay, do I have a second? Okay, I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstain?
And may I add my thanks and my kudos to Liz.
Yes.
Thank you. For your help.
Thank you very much. So with that, I ask for a motion to adjourn, and we'll see everybody in 2 weeks, and then we will dive into our next steps here. So. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Oh, yeah, I'll move it.
Okay.
Yeah,
do I have a second? We actually don't really need one, but.
Second.
Somebody, thank you. Thank you, everybody, and thank you for staying a little bit later. Appreciate it. Really good conversation.